Krishna, 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 Krish स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा वल्लभ की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मणि की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tato Jayamudiraye
Tato Jayamudiraye
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 17 पनिशमेंट एंड रिवॉर्ड ऑफ कली टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 गाम
च
धर्म
दुभां
दीना
भृशं
शूत्र
पद
आहता
विवत्सा
अश्रु
वदना
क्षामा यवसं इच्छति. गां च धर्म दुघां दीनां भृशं शूद्र पदाहतां विवत्सामाशु वदनां क्षामां यवसमिच्छति. गां च धर्म दुघां दीनां भृशं शूद्र पदाहतां विवत्सामाशु वदनां क्षामां यवसमिच्छति. गां च धर्म दुघां दीनां भृशं शूद्र पदाहतां विवत्सामाशु वदनां क्षामां यवसमिच्छति. गां
the cow,
cha,
also,
dharma dugham,
because
one can draw
religion from her,
dinam,
now rendered poor,
krisham,
distressed,
shudra,
the lower caste,
Pada ahatam,
beaten on the legs.
Vivatsam,
without any calf.
Ashruvadanam,
with tears in her eyes.
Kshamam,
very weak.
Yavasam,
grass.
Itchatin,
as if desiring to have
some grass to eat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a shudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Purport: the next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. The great rishis and munis would live only on milk. Srila Shukadeva Goswami would go to a householder while he was milking a cow, and he would simply take a little quantity of it for subsistence. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For a Sanatanist, a follower of Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. The Sanatanist worships cows on religious principles and respects Brahmanas. The cow's milk is required for the sacrificial fire. And by performing sacrifices, the householder can be happy. The cow's calf not only is beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow, and so she delivers as much milk as possible. But in the Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which may not be mentioned in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The cow stands with tears in her eyes. The Shudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially. And when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy. But it is a fact by the laws of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles for the total happiness of humanity. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudaya Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadamitam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahakani Raghunathapitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prasharine Ye Vishesha Shunyavadi Vaschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpa Tarujyascha Kripasindu Yavivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing about how in this age of Kali, the spiritually uncultured population of the day, many of them taking the posts of leaders of society, even though they are not qualified, create so much havoc in the world. As Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport, one of the very important reasons for all the distress and havoc that we see in the world today is
the mindless slaughter of the cows and the bulls, which are considered so pure and sacred according to the Vedic culture. The cows, being very dear to Krishna, are meant to be protected, served and worshipped for His pleasure. And when that is not done, then there is a great disturbance that is created in the society. In this verse, we see that King Parikshit has come to a place where he sees somebody who is actually unqualified. I think the children must be controlled. Parikshit Maharaj sees an unqualified person who is dressed like a king beating the legs of a cow and a bull. And Parikshit naturally is not happy to see this because he is a true follower of the Vedic culture. And he sees this and understands this to be a greatly sinful act. It is the duty of the kings to protect dharma. And when he sees this happening, he immediately stops this. He goes up, and we will be seeing in the future what actually will happen in the verses to come. But in the current verse, the glories of mother cow and especially of milk is being described. I'll repeat the translation. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a Shudra. There were tears in her eyes and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. So the distressed condition of the cow is a very important symptom of the age of Kali, as Prabhupada explains in the purport. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. This is a very important verse in the Srimad, in the Vedic literatures, in which all followers of the Vedic culture, they offer respects to Lord Krishna, who is Govinda, who is Brahmanya Devaya. He is the Lord of the Vedic, of the Brahminical culture. Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. He is a well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmanas. Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya. And he is a well-wisher of the entire world. Govindaya Namo Namaha. So we offer our respects to Govinda, to Sri Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the entire world and specifically of the cows and the Brahmanas. Why is the cow so important to the Vedic culture? Of course, because the series of verses in this chapter and the previous chapter does say a lot about the cow, so we have discussed some things about this in the previous lectures. But nevertheless, because this is the subject of the day, we need a little further discussion on this. Prabhupada has also explained in the purport here that the cow being personified dharma, actually the milk that is drawn from her is the liquefied form of religious principles. The word dharma dugham is important here. Dharma dugham means that one can draw the principles of religion from her. Dugha refers to the drawing of milk.
And a very significant statement that Prabhupada makes here is, milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in liquid form. So what is cow's milk? Liquid form of religious principles. What a wonderful way to express it. So milk from the cow is the principles of religion in liquid form. And you see, the different aspects of religion are meant to be treated differently, different forms of worship, just like the deity form is served by taking darshan, by offering arati, by offering bhoga, by decorating and so on. Similarly, the mahaprasadam of the Lord is honored or worshipped by not only offering respects to it, but also by eating it. Similarly, dharma in the form of milk is honored by drinking it. So when we drink milk that is produced from the cow, then we actually become religiously inclined. Srila Prabhupada extols the virtues of milk in his teachings on many occasions. And he says that milk is the perfect human food. It is miracle food. It is nutritious not only for the body but also for the soul. It is a perfect combination of all kinds of vitamins and so on, proteins. So it nourishes the body, it nourishes the brain, and it also makes one inclined towards spiritual life. Milk is the perfect food in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is necessary to cultivate spiritual life. It is very hard to continue in spiritual life when one is absorbed in the modes of passion and ignorance. The mode of goodness is the perfect atmosphere, the perfect foundation for making advancement in spiritual life. It is very hard to pursue and deepen one's inclination or even to have an inclination for spiritual life unless one situates oneself in the mode of goodness. And food, as we know, is an integral part and one of the very important parts of our life. We cannot sustain life without food. So if we want to pursue spiritual life, if we want to cultivate the desire for making spiritual advancement, then we must try to be more and more in the mode of goodness. And to be in the mode of goodness, one of the important factors is to make our food also appropriate to that. So milk is definitely one important factor because it is the best example of food in the mode of goodness. So when we take foods that are pure, ahara shuddho, sattva shuddhi, our very existence becomes purified. Sattva shuddho truva smriti. And when our existence becomes purified, then the brain tissues, to quote Prabhupada, and the memory itself becomes purified, our intelligence becomes purified. And as we go along with this pure state of mind, sarva-granthinam vipramokshaha, then we become inclined towards the path of liberation. It is a misconception of the modern age that milk causes so many problems. The problem is not with milk. The problem is with the fact that we have mistreated the cow in such a way that the milk is now contaminated because we are feeding the cows in the modern dairy system with so many chemicals and other foodstuffs which are not meant to be eaten by the cow. We also inject the cow with so many chemicals to increase the production of milk. We artificially milk the cow by machines and we subject the cow to so many other artificial conditions
and deprive her of many of the things that are naturally required for her to be happy and thus produce proper milk, qualitatively and quantitatively, that the milk that comes may then create some problems. So then what the modern civilization has done is, having subjected the cow to all these artificial conditions and troubles, the milk is then analyzed and then some research is done and we find that somebody has some problem with this milk or someone has another problem with the milk, and then they say the milk is, cow's milk is bad. It's not cow's milk that is bad. It's because of the artificial and unnatural and harmful things to which the cow is subject, that the milk acquires these artificial properties, and therefore there are diseases and so on. And therefore people are becoming vegan. Vegan means they're not only vegetarian, but they also don't take milk. And many times there's a propaganda that cow's milk is harmful, and therefore we are vegan, not just vegetarian. But it's not cow's milk that is harmful. It is because of the modern system of slaughter and of feeding them so many unnatural substances that cow's milk has become like this. If we look after the cows and the bulls in the way that they were traditionally looked after in the Vedic culture and as they should be looked after, then cow's milk will be one of the healthiest foodstuffs for us, because it contains everything that we need for good health, physically and also mentally and spiritually. We become inclined towards spiritual life. Milk is actually the origin of all the other items of the Panchagavya. There are five miracle items that come from the cow, the Panchagavya. Pancha means five, gavya means the products of the cow. Milk, ghee, yogurt, dung and urine. And of these five, three are connected to milk. One is milk itself. The second is ghee, which comes from the milk. And then there is yogurt. So Prabhupada explains many times that from milk and its derivatives, we can make so many delicious items, hundreds and hundreds of items, which are very delicious to eat. And why would one ever need to have any other non-vegetarian item when such delicious foodstuffs are available by combining milk and its derivatives with so many grains and fruits and so on and so forth? One can make all kinds of sandesh and sweets and so many things and combine it, and you have an unlimited combination of delicious foodstuffs. So milk is something that is miraculous. From milk, you can also make yogurt, butter, ghee. And milk is considered important because, the cow is considered important because we can get milk from which we can get ghee, and then sacrificial performances can be done. In the Vedic culture, performance of yajna or sacrifice was very important. From milk, ghee is made through yogurt and butter. And many times people say that now ghee is bad for health, bad for cholesterol and so many things. But fact of the matter is that in Ayurveda, ghee that is properly produced is actually a solution to heart problems. I remember many years ago, in the early 90s, I went for some Ayurvedic therapy somewhere and they made us drink ghee. Every day they would give us increasing quantities of ghee. And I'd never drunk ghee like that before. You normally cook it, you cook food with ghee and so on. But here, the vaidyas or the doctors, they actually made us drink ghee. And because we're not used to it, they start with a small quantity. And then they increase it, and finally you have to drink almost half a glass or a full glass of ghee. It's very hard to do. But in the old days, the brahmanas, they would drink glasses of ghee. Brahmana bhojana priya. So brahmanas like to eat, and especially they like ghee, and they like foodstuffs made of ghee, and they like to eat sweets. So there were certain classes of brahmanas who were very famous for liking ghee. I will not mention the particular group of brahmanas. But they would come into the house, and the first thing they would need is a glass of ghee. And one glass of ghee. And then they would be ready to have all kinds of sweets and rasgullas, and they would go for it. And it was considered disrespectful to their community, or a brahmana was not considered worth his salt, or not a real brahmana if he went out walking outside after the meal was over. In other words, he would have to be carried on a stretcher. Then he was a real brahmana. He was really eaten. So ghee is the symbol of good living. In the Vedic culture, unless you cook something in pure ghee, it's not considered real food. Nowadays, of course, we cook in so many other things. But real food means food cooked in ghee. Therefore, the Vedic philosopher was an atheist, actually. There were atheists in the Vedic culture also. His name was Charvak Muni. Ghritam pibet. He says, Rinam kritva kritam pibet yavat jivet sukham jivet bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kim punaragamano bhavet. So this verse means, Rinam kritva, Rinam means take a debt. Beg, borrow or steal, doesn't matter. But eat ghee. Eat food cooked in ghee. In other words, live the good life. Eat, drink and be merry. It doesn't matter how you earn your money. Morals don't matter, ethics don't matter, sin and piety are not considerations at all in the process. The important thing is live the good life, eat food cooked in ghee, pure ghee. After all, and if somebody raises an objection, then well, what about the sinful activity involved in stealing and so on? So Charvaka replies, Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya. When this body is destroyed, kim punaragamano bhavet? Then where is this next life? Who has seen the next life? You know, everything is finished in this life. So while this life is existing, just make merry. Make the best of it. So anyway, even in those days people understood that ghee means good life. But there are different ways of making ghee. And if you make ghee in the proper way, from milk, then everything becomes wonderful. Then the ghee is very delicious, it's good for health even. So then I was always wondering, why is it that the Ayurveda system prescribes ghee for curing you from heart disease, and modern medicine says that it causes heart disease? Now this is really such a diametrically opposite thing. So probably some people who are more medically qualified should do some research and understand these things. But probably it has to do with the way that the ghee is made. Srila Prabhupada explains elsewhere that, and some of you may know, especially the ladies would know, the traditional way of making ghee is that from cow's milk you first make yogurt or curd, maybe put a drop of lemon or whatever, make the yogurt, then you churn the yogurt. Then after churning the yogurt, then you get butter. And the watery part is also consumed separately. And the yogurt, or the butter that is obtained, is then heated. And then the contaminants or the dirt is removed. And what you have left after heating then is the ghee, the clarified butter, the ghee, the pure ghee. So the churning process is very important. If it is not churned, then it has a different quality. Today what is done is that from the milk we take the cream and we churn the cream. But sometimes there are mechanical ways to make the ghee. And then because the milk is made, the ghee is made from the cream, it has a different quality. I was speaking to some Ayurvedic doctor and he said that the process of the ghee that is made from the cream is called sarpi. It is very slippery by nature. Sarpayati iti sarpi. And that the ghee that is made actually from the churning of the yogurt, then that is called real ghee, kritam. Gharshanam shilatvat iti kritam. So when you churn it and then it has a certain granular feel to it, that is kritam or ghee. So therefore, the ghee that is made in the traditional process is actually very helpful. If the cow is properly looked after, fed properly with natural grass and so on and with love and affection, then she will give copious quantities of pure milk. And then Prabhupada said that the family should first of all drink sufficient milk. And there's still milk left over. Then make yogurt. And all the family members have yogurt. There's still some yogurt left over. You know, then make it into butter. Use the butter as well. And also use the water that is remaining. There's still some butter left over. Then churn it and make ghee. So every home, as Prabhupada explains in the purport here, in the Vedic culture, had cows and bulls. I'll quote what Prabhupada said. For a Sanatanist, a follower of Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk but also for deriving religious principles. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. So then, when such ghee is made, so the family has milk, yogurt, butter, buttermilk, ghee, everything's available. So we can see the cow is a foundation of the good life. The children become healthy, the adults become healthy. When they grow up as adults, they become healthy. Plus they have a good brain. Brain tissues become, Prabhupada's words, brain tissues become healthy so that one becomes inclined towards spiritual life. So now, however, the time has come where people treat the cow as a machine for producing milk. And even families in India now, they look after the cows for milk, they sell the milk, get money, and then buy things from the market. Rather than first feeding their own family members with that milk and making ghee and living really a good standard of life, they would rather sell the milk, get money, and then buy television and buy all sorts of things from the market, artificial foodstuff from the market. So life has really changed a lot. But milk is such a wonderful thing that you can get all these different products from milk. Each of them, according to Ayurveda, has many, many wonderful qualities. And they can be used to treat different types of diseases. And the miracle is that if you can use milk to treat one kind of disease, it may not work. In fact, it may be harmful in some other kind of disease. But then yogurt will be very useful for that disease. Let's say if you have loose diarrhea, then milk is harmful, but yogurt is very helpful. So the milk in its various combinations, even if milk as a liquid is harmful in some situation, another derivative is very useful in that situation. So such a wonderful thing is milk and the products of the milk. And how does it come? Even more miraculously. Take grass, put it in one end, and another end you get milk. So can man make such a machine where you put in grass at one end, ordinary grass and hay and all the things, the waste products of the kitchen, of an ordinary kitchen, of a vegetarian sattvic kitchen, you put it into a machine, it comes up with a wonderful product, end product like milk, which contains all the minerals and all the vitamins that can nourish body, mind, and make one inclined towards spiritual life. So the cow is a miracle. It's not simply the cow has economic value, but there is a certain quality about the products of the cow that make one inclined to spiritual life. Other forms of milk do not have that effect. There are other animals that have milk as well, and Ayurveda sometimes recommends milk of other animals for treating different diseases. For example, for tuberculosis, it is recommended you should drink the milk of a goat. A goat will never have tuberculosis. Some other types of animals may have. If you're living with goats, not that I recommend it, then you will not have tuberculosis. Or the milk of some other animals may be recommended in very specific cases. But generally, milk means cow's milk according to Ayurveda. Ghee means cow's ghee, unless otherwise specified. So this was something standard. Everybody understood that. And every household had cows. And it was also the culture that mendicants would come from door to door begging. And even if there was nothing in the house to give, even if the householder was pure or was poor, the householder would give at least some milk. As Prabhupada says, at least a quart or two of milk. It is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Shukadeva Goswami would be traveling everywhere. And when he was hungry, in the early morning he would go to the house of a householder's home, and the householder would then actually milk the cow because he had come. And Shukadeva Goswami would stay in that house as long as it took to milk the cow. Then he would take that milk, and that was enough nourishment. So there were different kinds of sadhus who would eat different kinds of foodstuffs. There were some sadhus who would live only on fruit. They were called phalaharis. You see, in Vrindavan, we sometimes, in our temple, we feed the sadhus of Vrindavan. And we have all these varieties who come. Some who eat the normal foodstuffs, prasadam, and some have specific diets. Some eat only fruit, so you have to have a separate diet for them. Some take only certain things, you have to have something separate from them, for them. So those who take only fruit, then they are called phalaharis. Ahar means food. So phalahari means one who takes only food. And then there are those who are called dugdhaharis, who take only milk. And there are many sadhus like this traditionally, and even in today's times, there are sadhus who live only on milk. But of course, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has pointed out, the goal of life is not to drink milk. That we must remember. Milk is not the all-in-all. Milk will help us to achieve a favorable condition in which we can achieve the ultimate goal of life, which is love of God. There was a pastime which took place in Navadvip when the kirtans were going on in Shivas Thakur's home. Mahaprabhu would gather along with his other intimate devotees, and all night long and all day long they would have kirtan. the congregational chanting of the holy names. And no one else was allowed except one who was an intimate associate of the Lord. One time, however, there was this sadhu who was a brahmachari who approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that please allow me to enter the kirtan. I want to see Mahaprabhu dancing and chanting. Because this brahmachari was so austere and he lived only on milk, he was a dugdhahari. And he was extremely austere. He was pure-hearted, not malicious. He wasn't a devotee, but he was austere and celibate and so on and so forth. So Srivas Thakur felt, yes, you know, he's such an austere person, he should be allowed inside. So he allowed him in secretly. And he was hiding somewhere in the room and watching Mahaprabhu's kirtan. When Mahaprabhu started the kirtan, after a short while he stopped. He said, something's wrong here. I'm not getting that ecstasy, that taste in the kirtan. I don't know why. Srivas, is there anyone here who shouldn't be here? Then Srivas Thakur knew that the game was over, that he has to now say the truth. He said, yes, my lord, there is, but actually, he's a very pure-hearted brahmachari. He dresses in just bark, and he drinks only milk. And then Mahaprabhu says, do you think you can go back to Godhead, you can get Krishna Prem just by drinking milk? So he asked the brahmachari to leave. But the brahmachari was so humble, and he surrendered himself to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Mahaprabhu became merciful, finally allowed him to stay and participate in the kirtan. But Mahaprabhu was making a point that one cannot develop Krishna prema drinking only by drinking milk. So while it is very important for us, we must understand things in the proper perspective. We must understand ultimately the goal of our life is to attain pure love of Godhead. And everything else that we organize in our life is meant to help us, to facilitate, or to help us to reach that ultimate objective. So Krishna also used to personally milk the cows. Even as a child, he would be surrounded by milk and milk products in the cows. One time, Mother Yashoda was, as he was a baby, Mother Yashoda was telling him a story about Vishnu and about the ocean of milk. And Krishna became curious and he asked his mother, Mother, there is an ocean of milk. So then, how many cows must be there to produce that ocean of milk? Because as a baby, he had only seen milk coming from the cows in his father's goshala, cowshed. So he assumed that wherever there is milk, if there is an ocean of milk, then that means there must be trillions and trillions of cows who must be milked to make such a large quantity of milk. So the Mother Yashoda smiled at the intelligent question. And then she said, well, that same person, the milk comes from the cow, and the cow is a servant of the Supreme Lord. The cow is made by the Supreme Lord. So that Supreme Lord who makes the cow, who delivers the milk, can also directly make oceans of milk. It's not a problem for him. Of course, little did she know that very same personality was her child now, and she was explaining these things to that child. So in Goloka Vrindavan also, there are these Surabhi cows who produce unlimited quantities of milk. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that they are actually fountainheads of pure love. The milk of the Surabhi cows in Goloka Vrindavan will just increase your love of Krishna manifold. In any case, those who stay in Goloka Vrindavan are pure devotees, and their love for Krishna simply increases all the more when they drink the delicious milk of the Surabhi cows there. Chintamani prakarasat mashukalpa vriksha lakshavrateshu surabhi rabhipalayantam. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambhramase Yamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Brahma has explained in the Brahma Samhita that in Goloka Vrindavan, it is a land of touchstones, of Chintamani. Chintamani is a special kind of touchstone or jewel that can fulfill all desires. The word Chitta also means thinking, or it also means worry. And unfortunately in this world we have another kind of Chintamani where people have Chinta or worry about money. So we have another kind of Chintamani, money here. But in Goloka Vrindavan you have Chintamani, which means it's a touchstone, it's a jewel. Prakara Satmashu Kalpa Vriksha, there are all kinds of desire trees. Kalpa Vriksha, that can fulfill all your desires. And there's also thousands and thousands of Lakshmis who serve Krishna. And Surabhi Rabhi Palayantam. And Krishna there is looking after unlimited Surabhi cows who can produce unlimited quantities of milk. Devunam asmi kamadhuk. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, amongst all the cows, I am the kamadhenu. The kamadhenu is also a cow that can fulfill all desires and produce so much of milk. The kamadhenu cows of the material world, however, are a reflection of the original Surabhi cows of Goloka Vrindavan. The acharyas explain that there is also a material Goloka planet in the heavenly world, heavenly planets. It's not the same as the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. And here there are cows, the Surabhi cows of this world. And that is the cow that came to help Indra after the Govardhan Leela. Indra took shelter of Mother Cow because he knew that if Krishna sees me, he's going to get upset, very angry, because I've committed a big offense at his lotus feet. But if I keep Mother Surabhi in front of me, when he sees Mother Surabhi, the holy cow, then his anger will subside. And then Mother Surabhi came from this Goloka planet, which is a part of the heavenly planetary system, and she came. So this is the importance of the Surabhi cows. Even the Kamadhenu cows of the who were present on the earth planet in the earlier ages also had these remarkable potencies. In the Ramayana, we hear the story of a confrontation that once happened between Vasishtha Muni and Vishwamitra Muni. Vasishtha Muni was in his ashram and he was going about his usual duties. Vishwamitra Muni was not a Muni at that time, he was a king. And he had come out with his soldiers for hunting. And wandering in the forest, he came across the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And he wanted some refreshments, so he came in. Vasishtha Muni understood that the emperor had come. He welcomed him respectfully and then offered a wonderful feast. He had this Kamadhenu cow who was called Nandini. And he requested Nandini to provide all wonderful things to offer hospitality to the king and his entire entourage, hundreds and hundreds of soldiers and so on. And Nandini effortlessly provided all kinds of delicious foodstuffs and so on. And Vishwamitra Muni was bewildered to see this. So he decided he wanted the cow because he's a king. The king is the proprietor of everything. So he asked Vasishtha Muni, please give me this cow. So Vasishtha Muni said, no, I can't give this cow, because she provides me with milk and all the other paraphernalia that I need for performing sacrifices and to continue my brahminical activity in my ashram. So I can't give you this cow. So Vishwamitra was angry. He urged Vasishtha Muni again and again. But Vasishtha Muni said, I'm sorry, you can take anything else. But Nandini, I need her. for performing all my religious activities. The king, Vishwamitra, because he was a king, he was also very proud. He became very angry. And he ordered his soldiers to seize the cow and take her forcibly to his palace. And when they attempted to do that, Vishwamitra and the cow, actually she produced all kinds of weapons and destroyed the army. And then there were more soldiers were called. And at that time, simply by just saying, Vasishtha Muni was able to destroy everything. And then King Vishwamitra felt, oh, it's useless to be a king, better be a brahmana. What is the use of all my military prowess when these brahmanas just by there saying, and by the presence of the cow, they're able to destroy my entire army. Better to be a brahmana. So then he gave up his kingship, gave up his empire, and retired into the forest to be a brahmana. He wanted to be a Brahma Rishi. Of course, it's a long story. And anyway, eventually he achieved his goal to be a Brahma Rishi, and Vasishtha Muni also accepted him as such, and then he was pacified. He was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be Lord Krishna, or to be Lord Ram's guru for some time. It was he who arranged for his marriage, actually, to Sita Devi. So in any case, these Surabhi, these Kamadhenu cows were there, even in the material world. So you can imagine what the Kamadhenu cows are like in the spiritual world. So Krishna is the lover of cows. Even though Krishna has other animals like the peacock and parrots and other birds, so on in Goloka Vrindavan, but the cows have a special place.
This entire purport, Srila Prabhupada is actually devoted to milk and to keeping cows and bulls happy. So we must realize how important it is. In the end, towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy, but it is a fact by the laws of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles for total happiness of humanity. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is such a wonderful literature. It gives us all the information that we need to become happy at all levels in our life. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I was having a debate with some Krishna conscious vegans on the subject of non-consumption. And the point came up about the commercial dairy farms and the atrocities and how closely related that they are to meat, the slaughter industries. But in places where we are unable to get hold of real milk from our goshawks, what are we to do? Like here in Melbourne, we get all our milk from commercial dairy farms. There's New Gabadan has goshawa. I believe there's another farm in Victoria that has goshawa. But we're unable to attain that milk. So how are we to do our service?
The question is that what does one do if milk from protected cows is not available? We are dependent on cow, on milk that is commercially available, and such milk is obtained from cows who are sent to the slaughterhouse. So what should we do? It's a difficult question. I did discuss this a couple of days ago after the Srimad Bhagavatam class. I would say we can deal with it a couple of levels. it probably gives the incentives for temples and for devotees to maintain cows and have farms so that you can get the milk and have nice milk and ghee and so on. Personally, I try to avoid taking milk where I'm not assured that it is coming from protected cows. Fortunately, I happen to be traveling mostly to temples, and many of the temples do have goshalas where milk is produced, so I drink that milk. And places where it is not available, I often avoid drinking milk. But some devotees may have the argument that, well, Kali Yuga, everything is polluted, everything is contaminated. And for example, even these electronic paraphernalia, our computer keyboards, they all use everything that you can have in the market today has some contamination where there is some violation of one of the regulatory principles. So there's hardly anything that is free from sin, any product that is available that is really pure. So considering that situation, we just offer what's available to Krishna. And because it's offered to Krishna, it becomes purified, and we accept that because we have no other alternative. So that is one way to look at it, and there is some merit in it. However, if it is possible, I was mentioning the other day that let us do also something proactive. Yes, there are farms, but there is obviously a limit to which how much the farms can supply to an expanding devotee community. And there is a limitation of land, and there is a limit, so many limitations of manpower, of funds, and so on and so forth. So it's easier said than done that a temple farm can provide milk to all the entire devotee population. One thing that I did suggest the other day after class was that if there are some devotees who are good Vaishyas, who have a good business brain, and who are also a little bold, they can take up this project. Some devotees in England have done that, and some in other parts are also keen on doing it. You either collaborate with an existing farmer who may not even be a devotee and make a deal with him that at least a certain section of your herd, you protect them, protect those cows and bulls. And we will buy the milk at a higher price from you. And the offspring of these cows, even if they are bulls, should not be sent to the slaughterhouse. The cows, when they grow old, should not be sent to the slaughterhouse. Protect them till the very end. There will be a higher cost involved, but we will buy the milk from you at the higher cost. And so this farmer, in England they have done it like that. Some devotees from the manor, they've tried this experiment. They're calling it Ahimsa Milk Foundation or something like that. And so they have these farmers they make deals with. So they get this milk at a higher price. And then some devotees consume it. And there's a market even in the outside world, actually, even non-devotees. If it is presented like that, that this is organic milk that comes from protected cows. So, confirmation, yes. Yes, we should do that. So, then there'll be a large percentage, there'll be a large market even out there in the world. So there won't be any shortage of consumers for this milk. But we have to be prepared to pay that higher amount. And there are other ways in which such devotee Vaishyas can reduce the cost of the milk by doing other things, which can be discussed separately. So this is one practical, proactive thing that devotees can do. Otherwise, yes, it is a dilemma. And what does one do? Such is the situation in Kali Yuga. One can opt for either option. So this is a practical solution. One can also try to help the temples, farm communities where the goshalas are there so that they can be supported adequately in different ways. So the devotee community has to come together to do these things. If we want to drink milk, we should not simply expect that somebody else will do it for us. We have to get together, put our heads together, shoulders together, and see if there's something that can be done practically. Then I'm sure with a collective intelligence and effort of devotees, these things will be possible. Because after all, we do want to supply our deities in the temple and also at home and also for our own consumption. We want this pure quality milk. And gradually, the devotees can actually be trailblazers. They can be pioneers in this kind of milk production. The modern day paradigm is that the entire milk industry is based on slaughter and all kinds of other artificial means. But devotees can actually be trailblazers in setting up a new economy that can be actually commercially viable. Anyway, some food for thought. Yes.
I was considering the pastime of putana, the breast was poisoned as well, and Krishna accepted it as mother. But is it better to be rejecting such milk from these commercial dairy farms and going on more of a dairy free diet if we cannot get milk from?
So is it better to just avoid the milk from the commercial world or to take it anyway and offer it to Krishna? Well, there's strong opinions devotees have in our movement on both sides. You can do whatever makes you comfortable. There's merits to both arguments. Leave it to each one to decide, depending on one's inclination. Both arguments have something in it. But I would say, whatever we may do, whether we take option one or option two, we should do something practical. It's time. The number of devotees worldwide is increasing rapidly. And we have to do something that is so important for the physical, mental and spiritual nourishment of the devotees. And devotees are looking for pure sources of livelihood instead of just being in the usual rat race and the sources of livelihood that are there in the modern industrial civilization. Here are a few exciting and interesting alternatives. It's possible. Some people who are a little bold, who have some enterprise and initiative and capabilities in this direction can try something. They can even if they don't want to collaborate with some other non-devotee farmer, they can start their own farm, but of course they must learn the subject, they must become expert in this. They shouldn't just emotionally jump into it because there's a lot involved. They must learn the subject properly and have some experience before they take such a step. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Well, I just want to add a point with the Prabhu. We do have a bit better, not like totally better, a bit better option in Australia. It's Elgar Farms. They don't sell they don't send their cows to slaughterhouse, even if the cow stops giving milk. If they keep the cow on the farm itself, they don't send their calves to slaughterhouses. They grow their calves, of course, when it becomes bull, at that time they send the slaughterhouse. So yes, it's not a totally viable solution, but maybe a bit better than
okay. Alright, so there's some types of milk commercially available where the sin may not be as great. It's a little lesser. Alright, that's another option. Any other question? Yes.
Maharaj, I was hearing a lecture by Bhakti Vidya Poonsami Maharaj in Mayapur, and he was talking on this topic, and he said that there are temples have actually gone vegan, thinking that it's not a good idea to have milk which is not coming from protected cows. But he was saying that those temples are not even offering deities milk because they couldn't consume. But then he was making a point that if becoming vegan can actually help you, inspire you to have your own goshalas, then yes, it's a valid point, go ahead and do it. But if it is not, then he said that it's just not serving any purpose. Plus, if you serve the milk to the Lord, then the cow gets the benefit. And plus, Prabhupada said that we require all of us to have milk because it nourishes the brain tissue, so we can become inclined towards spiritual progress. So that was his point.
Yes, certainly. So I said the main solution really is to do it ourselves. We are always depending on someone else to do it. We are looking for the solutions outside. So why not make our own solutions? That's the best. So then we won't have all these problems. Eventually the devotee community, as it grows, must learn to take care of its own needs. And milk is an important need. This whole purport today is just on milk. So we should do something proactive. That's the best solution. Yes?
Can you please explain what results in a birth of a cow in a material world, where it can gives the benefit to mankind, but also can result in its own slaughter? Very hardship that it can go through. Is it a curse or a blessing, or what type of person can take birth as a cow? For what purpose and what kind of karma behind it?
So the question is that what kind of karma is involved in a living entity taking birth as a cow and then getting slaughtered? So cow is a holy animal. The milk of the cow is so pure. And then the cow is sent for slaughter. What kind of karma? There is some karma, certainly. You know that famous picture that was made, it's popular in our ISKCON BBT books, also in Back to Godhead. There is a man with a big knife or something, and he's about to chop the head off of a cow, but the cow is the head of a human. And the man has the head of a cow, goes to show that basically when we kill animals, then we will have to take birth again as animals and be killed in return. Prabhupada used to explain that the word for meat in Sanskrit is maasa, maamsaha. And the etymology of the word is maamsaha, which means that when you cut you kill the animal, you're saying, I will become you, I will become you in the next life. This life I'm killing you, but in the next life you will kill me. So by keeping on saying that, eventually you start thinking, what am I saying and what am I doing? In other words, I will take birth in the future, and those who I'm killing now will kill me in return, as per the law of karma. So obviously there is some karma there, but that doesn't give us the right to kill the animal, thinking that animal's karma was there. So then, no, we can't take the law in our hands. That's for Krishna to do. Okay? Yes. Yes.
Sorry, this might be slightly off track, but I'm just wondering why there's separation between men and women.
Because it's part of the Vedic culture, because it is conducive for spiritual development, because such separation in a decent way facilitates good consciousness, it protects us from too much of free mixing, which is not healthy for spiritual development. So it's a part of the culture and the etiquette. Okay? Yes.
Well, Just a question that now, we here it's mentioned that cow, the religious principle drawn from the cow. And then if you look at the back from the Vedic point of view, so there are so many man-made religions which are in like, you know, other, apart from the Sanatana Dharma. And then slowly it has gone so deteriorated that the cow killing and then eating the flesh of the cow is just been a normal, never been a tinge of knowledge there that the eating a cow or killing the cow is a sin for you. Whereas it is there, there is some root is there in India, but nowadays, you know, many friends of mine who come from Indian origin also started eating just for as a modern thing. So how do we reconcile this, that why this knowledge, though the root of all the other religious knowledge are culminated in the Vedic knowledge, why that the knowledge is, where the deviation has taken place, why the...
Why is all this happening? Because it is Kali Yuga. It's a symptom. As Prabhupada says, the very first line of the purport, the next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. The first condition that was mentioned, the symptom mentioned in the previous verses, was that you have unqualified leaders. Leaders and kings were not fit to be leaders, but they become leaders. And the second, Prabhupada mentioned this purport, is that they give distress to the cows. So it's a sign of this age. And people in the earlier ages, the sages, couldn't believe it, that there would be an age when this will happen, when people will actually kill cows. It was something so unbelievable for them. How can people ever do such a thing? And today when you advocate cow protection, people think there's something strange there. So, and this is just 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. So this is a sign of the age. So, okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha ki jai, Yantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.
Good morning, Bhagavatam. Jai.